We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
This legislation strikes down virtually every voter integrity law adopted at the state level.
Remaining silent and ignoring the lie emboldens the liar.
Right now, I'm kind of a fan of Liz Cheney.
We should be very careful to investigate where this virus came from.
I do not have any accounting of what the Chinese may have done.
The American people just lost patience with us.
They can text their zip code to 3.
Yeah, go to Joe 303030. Isn't that what he said during the debate that time?
I can't imagine why the American people are losing patience.
Or confidence, for that matter.
Oh,
boy, that's Lord. The truth. Susan Collins said that yesterday to the head of the CDC, Walensky, Dr. Walensky, I think her name is. He just told her, I mean, we're losing confidence in you. And you got to think.
Bill Cassidy told her that, yes. Susan Collins also spoke on the issue.
Yes, indeed. And it undermines public confidence, I think, is part of what Susan Collins said as well. So glad you're back with us this morning. Listen to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy that you're here. Lots happened yesterday. We're monitoring the situation in Israel, which is tragic, which I have to think. I'll just go ahead and say it. I don't think under a Trump administration this would be happening. The Palestinians have been emboldened by the Biden administration suddenly turning over tens of millions of dollars to them again. So now they have money to pad their own pockets and start bombing Israel. And it's a sad, tragic situation. We've been keeping an eye on that. I don't know how that ends. I hope it doesn't end in a war. But it's certainly there are skirmishes going on even as we speak. So we're gonna talk more about that coming up a little later. We've got Missouri Senator Dave Schatz joining us in just a few minutes. It was a late night down in Jeff City. 1 o'clock this morning is roughly when they finished up working on a lot of things in the Senate and the House. The prescription drug monitoring bill passed. The tax increase for the gas tax passed. And we'll talk to Senator Schatz about that here in just a couple of minutes. I got Stacy on the right in the queue after that at 7:35. We're going to get to Missouri's Attorney General, Eric Schmidt, at 8:20, because while there's legislation pending still, I don't know if it makes it out of the House and Senate or not, gets to the governor's desk that would restrict Sam Page's power, the Missouri Attorney General's going to try to do that himself by going to court. We're going to talk to him about that this morning. And then Charles Payne is going to join us at about 8:35, host of Making Money on the Fox Business Network. Let me get back to what happened to Dr. Rand Paul yesterday. He was once again testifying above a Senate committee. And Rand Paul cuts him no corner here, claiming that the United States was sending funding to that Wuhan virology institute And he wanted to know what Dr. Fauci knew about that. Go to cut 18, please.
Will you, in front of this group, categorically say that the COVID-19 could not have occurred through serial passage in a laboratory?
I do not have any accounting of what the Chinese may have done, and I'm fully in favor of any further investigation of what went on in China. However, I will repeat again, the NIH and NIAID categorically has not funded gain-of-function research to be conducted in the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
You do support it in the U.S. We have 11 labs doing it, and you have allowed it here. We have a committee to do it, but the committee has granted every exemption. You're fooling with Mother Nature here. You're allowing superviruses to be created with a 15% mortality. It's very dangerous. I think it was a huge mistake to share this with China, and it's a huge mistake to allow this to continue in the United States. And we should be very careful to investigate where this virus came from.
Wow. Rand Paul just absolutely laying it out to Dr. Fauci. Fauci denied that. He was careful. If you listen to how he worded it, he was very careful about how he worded it. He didn't say he didn't know anything about it. He denied that the NIH directly funded that type of research, which would have modified the COVID virus, which we've known about for years, into something that could then infect the cells of humans. That's the question here. Is that what was done? I don't know. Here's what Tucker Carlson had to say about it last night. Cut 15, please.
In one of the most amazing stories ever told, ever, the guy in charge of America's response to COVID turns out to be the guy who funded the creation of COVID. We're speaking of Tony Fauci and the gain of function experiments at the Wuhan laboratory that the U.S. government, with his approval, paid for.
See, he denied that. Fauci kind of denies that, but in sort of a guardhouse lawyer kind of way. So it's going to be interesting to see whether or not any of that investigation moves forward here. I'm anxious to hear about that myself. We'll be keeping an eye on it for you. Hey, last night, the Missouri legislature was still working down in Jeff City as of about 1 a.m. This morning. And that's a late night. And for some reason, Senator Dave Schatz is back up and awake and in his office this morning, and he's joining us on the phone. Senator, welcome in.
Good morning, Mark.
That was a short night for you, wasn't it?
You know, Mark, over the last 3 weeks, turkey season has been going on. I've been getting up about 4 a.m. in the morning every day to go turkey hunting, so this is nothing new.
Good for you. I'm glad you're still able to squeeze all that in. Wow, that is a full plate. Let's talk about what happened in the Missouri Senate yesterday. What has passed at this point that people need to know about?
Well, obviously, I think, Mark, you kind of have alluded to the fact that the prescription drug monitoring program was passed yesterday in the House, along with the gas tax that was passed yesterday. Those are two issues, Mark, that have been in this building probably since my time that I walked in this building, you know, some 10 years ago. And so getting those things finally over the table, across the finish line, I'm certain people are tired of talking about these subjects. I think, you know, critically, you know, the infrastructure funding that was accomplished last night is something that this state's been needing for a long time. The last time we addressed the motor fuel tax was 25 years ago in 1996. And so getting those things done is something that I'm glad we have finally gotten that behind us.
Well, I know that that's been one of the bills that you've been pushing. A lot of people are upset over how it was done, though. Maybe you can explain that to me. Why not go back to the voters again? They rejected this 3 years ago.
Well, Mark, here's the thing. The reality is this. I started in this building 2011. 2014, I was the chair of transportation in the House. We went forward to the voters with a 3/4-cent sales tax that obviously failed at the ballot. People rejected it because they didn't want to go away from the motor fuel tax that we currently have. I think it was 2018. I was the chair of transportation in the Senate at the time as well. We went forward with a proposal on Prop D that raised the motor fuel tax, but it was obviously coupled with an Olympic medal bill because of some dynamics that exist in the building, and the taxation was the only thing we had at our disposal. And that failed. But what I found from that particular proposal was this, Mark, that 1.2 million people voted against that, but 1.1 million voted for it. That was stronger than some of the measures that we had passed before and some constitutional measures that we had passed before. And so the fact of the matter is we found a way with the process that we passed yesterday through the House finally was to allow both of those individuals to be represented in funding transportation needs. And with our proposal, it allows for people that want to invest in infrastructure, they can through the motor fuel tax. It's a user fee, which is, I think, is the fairest way for us to pay for the system, is the people that are using the system pay for it. And if people don't want to pay for it, obviously they have an opportunity to refund and get their money back. And so I don't know how it gets any better than that. So I'm pleased that we're able to hear both sides. And so, again, we listen to voters, and this is the way we were addressed it.
You know, I saw some of the coverage of this in the media, and someone said that you perceived it as something that would also create construction jobs in the state of Missouri. I mean, in that way, do you see this as some sort of a stimulus?
Mark, this is not. I don't believe this is stimulus. I believe one of the critical things that people need to understand that we have over $10 billion of unfunded necessities that need to be taken care of. Have been piling up since we have not been able to. Be able to maintain our system every year, about $800 million annually. We do not have enough resources coming in from the motor fuel tax in order just to maintain, just for us to be able to tread water and not lose ground. So we've been losing ground for years. This will help us to get back to be able just to be able to maintain the system and hopefully, you know, provide some of those much needed projects that obviously some of our cities and counties and state roads have been lacking in keeping our bridges safe for all of our drivers and for our young drivers as well. And I think that's critical and why we need more funding. And obviously, this, I believe, is a measure to get that across the finish line.
Yeah, Senator Dave Schatz, our guest this morning, the governor's indicated he would sign this, right?
That's correct.
Okay. I thought so. One last question on the gas tax. And I don't have a deep understanding of this, but how did it get around the Hancock Amendment?
Mark, here's the thing. The 2.5 cents that we raised this gas tax per year does not violate the Hancock Amendment. I believe there was a court case and decision in 2004 that obviously, you know, the Hancock Amendment does not apply to these road funds. They're not part of our general revenue. They're separate outside of that. And so there's an argument to be made that this does not violate Hancock, even if the 2.5 cents would be in excess of what the Hancock limits were. And so with the 2.5 cents, we're under the Hancock restrictions that exist. So we made sure that we didn't violate that in the event that we were challenged. Okay. And then you have the rebate portion of that comes back to individuals would obviously continue to keep us below any Hancock violations that could occur. And so we were careful about that. We've had multiple legal opinions and conversations about that, Mark. So we believe that we're squarely on good constitutional grounds.
There you go. Well, Senator Schatz, you know, I know. I was following several state representatives last night who were still putting out social media tweets at 1 o'clock this morning and Facebook posts. Politics can be a blood sport. I understand that. What else are you going to get done before this session is over? Like the Second Amendment Preservation Act, somebody brought up that they were told that if the gas tax didn't pass the House, the Senate wouldn't vote on that bill. Is that true?
Well, that is not true. That's unequivocally true. I'm not sure where that came from or who made that statement, but I mean, that's patently false. We talked to some people last night about that. I have not spoke to the individual that made those statements, but that is patently false. You know, I've been a strong supporter and continue to support the Second Amendment, and hopefully sometime between now and 6 p.m. on Friday, we're going to have that bill up on the floor, and we're going to get that thing passed across the finish line.
All right.
But that has to do with the gas tax at all.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to, that's some of what was being said last night, and it's got people fired up this morning. Let me talk about prescription drug monitoring for a minute. That's a story I've been covering since I was a news reporter over at Channel 4 years ago. I know it's been on the burner down there for a long time. People have a lot of issues with a lot of concerns about privacy with this. Did you support it? And what do you think people need to understand about prescription drug monitoring?
Mark, I have supported it, but one thing I want people to understand is this: is that, you know, the current system we have in place right now is being ran by St. Louis County. 87% of Missourians have been covered by the voluntary one that's run by St. Louis County. So I would ask voters, would they rather have one ran that we have created that's run, or we want one ran by Sam Page and his individuals in St. Louis County? So I think what we've done is put some privacy protections in there, some data purges, things in this prescription drug monitoring program that don't exist in the current form. And so I believe we've added layers of protection for that information for people to know that it's being done right, it's being done in a secure fashion, and obviously we're not having Sam Page being in charge of it. So I think what we did there was an improvement. Again, we already currently had 87% of the state was covered by it, and now we have a statewide approach that obviously I believe is going to be an effective tool for when physicians are prescribing these types of drugs, they can make an informed decision on how they should be prescribing these types of dangerous drugs.
Senator Dave Schatz joining me this morning. So this is some people are concerned that it creates a database that maybe violates people's HIPAA rights or could somehow be used against you if you're taking a certain type of drug, but you go to apply for a background check to buy a gun. Are these concerns of yours? You said there was some data purge built into this. Who has access to this information?
Well, obviously, there is built-in protections to make sure that it cannot be used for those purposes, Mark. I don't have the bill in front of me to go into the details, the specifics of that, but obviously, we have taken those precautions. We've heard those concerns. And so this bill, like I said, has been in this chamber for the 11-plus years that I have been here. And so all of those issues have been brought forth. And in order for us to get this accomplished, all those things were taken care of. And obviously, we believe that it cannot be used for law enforcement for the types of purposes that people have concerns on. So
yeah. Well,
I believe that what we've done is we put a responsible prescription drug monitoring program because we are the last state in the United States to actually have one of these things adopted in our state.
All right. Well, I know that people had concerns about whether only doctors could see it, whether pharmacists could see it, who all could see the list. And I guess we'll get more details as we see the actual wording of the bill that passed.
Well, it does have all the HIPAA protections that obviously are currently in law right now are associated with that as well. And so obviously it has those issues already in place as well.
So Senator, what else are you expecting? What else are you personally hoping to see make it to the deadline at 6 p.m. on Friday and get passed?
Well, obviously, we still we have some public health overreach issues that we're working on. We want to make sure that if we ever have a future situation like we've had with COVID, we want to make sure that in the event that public health officials, unelected public health officials, have some checks and balances. And so that's something I think is important for us to get across the finish line to make sure that we don't find ourselves having our businesses being targeted and shut down in an unfair and way that prevents them from being able to survive. So that's something that's going to be important, trying to get that done. I think we're also going to make sure we continue to push back against the Biden administration and their executive overreach and the things that they've done. It's something that we're going to make sure that we continue to stay on message with that and try to make sure that the Biden administration hears from us. And so unemployment, again, I think the governor took some steps yesterday to eliminate unemployment benefits for going through this federal money that's coming into our state where it's keep preventing people from actually wanting to go back to work.
Right.
We have more people we have more jobs out there than we have people that want to fill them. And with this additional money that they've been receiving, obviously it's been problematic. I, as an employer myself, cannot find enough qualified people to do the work that we need to get done.
Wow, that's amazing. I know the education, one of the education bills passed that dealt with vouchers, and I believe that's going to end up on the governor's desk, correct?
Education savings accounts, yes, that did pass. We were able to get that accomplished last week, and so that'll be on the governor's desk. There still may be some education reforms that are coming. We'll have some conversations about that. We're also going to be talking about some election integrity issues, paper ballots. So there's still a lot to go. We've got three more days. I'm certain, Mark, even though you said we were here late last night, that's not typical Missouri Senate. We've been in here until 5-6 o'clock in the morning. And I would imagine we'll probably see some of those hours again over the next 3 days in order for us to try to finish this thing up by 6 p.m. on Friday.
Got it. Senator Dave Schatz, thanks for your time this morning.
Appreciate it, Mark. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. District 26 there, Missouri Senator Dave Schatz. We're going to get to a break here. I've got Stacy on the right, Stacy Washington, joining me just after the bottom of the hour, and Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt at 8:20. We'll be back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Former president who provoked a violent attack on this Capitol in an effort to steal the election has resumed his aggressive effort to convince Americans that the election was stolen from him. He risks inciting further violence. Millions of Americans have been misled by the former president. They have heard only his words, but not the truth, as he continues to undermine our democratic process, sowing seeds of doubt about whether democracy really works at all. I am a conservative Republican, and the most conservative of conservative principles is reverence for the rule of law.
Stacy Washington, Stacy on the right, joining me this morning. Stacy, that was Lynn Cheney's daughter there giving her farewell speech last night. What did you think?
I think it's fine for her to express herself. She has a First Amendment right to share her thoughts and feelings. I just find it interesting that everyone who says that President Trump is lying about the election also feels that there isn't any need for accountability on the different things that were changed during the COVID-19 crisis last year. So state legislatures are in charge of election processes in states. We have 50 local elections every time we have a midterm or presidential election cycle. It's a local election because the founders felt that these things were best taken care of as close to the people who are voting as possible. So state legislatures are empowered to make changes to, let's say, what day you can begin to vote, whether or not you can vote early, how long the polls stay open, processes at the polls, whether or not there's signature verification, voter ID. All these things are decided by local state legislatures. And so when election boards, which are actually not constitutional, started making changes to allow early voting and mail-in voting and drop boxes and eliminating signature verification, those changes were actually not constitutional, and it was a dereliction of duty for those state legislatures not to call that out and put a stop to it immediately. And so when the things that were irregular began to happen, and we saw, you know, on election night, we saw polls close, and then all of a sudden hundreds of thousands of votes would appear in the middle of the night, and all of them, 90% to 100% of them, went to one candidate. Those are irregularities. Those things defy natural accounting processes. So for there to be questions is natural. And when there is honesty and above board behavior, people are not worried about double checking the numbers. If you know you got 81 million votes, then you don't have a problem with there being, signature verification, or if votes are audited, you don't have a problem with that because you know you won by an overwhelming margin. You're not worried. Even if some signatures are thrown out, some votes are thrown out via signature verification, you know that once things are audited and everything's above board, you're still the winner.
Right.
That is the behavior of someone who has honestly and soundly thumped the other candidate. We don't see that. We actually see some totalitarian behavior going on in Arizona and Maricopa County, where they're doing an audit right now. They're flying drones overhead to take pictures of the license plates of the cars that are involved so that they can dox the people who are involved in doing the audit. That's not the behavior of someone who's won fairly and soundly thumped their opponent. So I find it interesting when people express their opinions the way she did. She sounded nice. Good for her. But that doesn't change the fact that millions of Americans, tens of millions of Americans, are concerned about our electoral processes and the security of our voting in our states. And so those concerns have to be addressed. And I don't care if you're the president of the United States or a dog catcher. All people here in America have the same level of respect, accountability. We're all equal under the law. And if there were irregularities, they need to be rooted out, because one citizen, one vote is important for every American, regardless of your political party.
Stacey, thank you for preaching it. And because if H.R. 1 or S. 1, as they call it on the Senate side, was to ever get through the Senate, if they ever like lifted the filibuster and they made that law, it would ensconce the Democratic Party in this country forever. They would so dramatically change these laws. It would restrict free speech on campaign finance. All of these things would change overnight because the Democrats know what they got away with in November.
Yeah, and it would eliminate all of the voter ID that is across the country. It would make voter ID illegal. And so I heard her say that the fact that President Trump is still looking for election integrity and answers from November will cause more violence. I'll tell you what will cause more violence. S1, HR1. That is the ushering in of anarchy in this country. It will balkanize the streets of America. It will turn this place into, if you feel like it's politics all the time, all day, every day now, just imagine what happens if they take away the right of citizens to decide how they vote in their states and leave it in the hands of Nancy Pelosi. That will usher in violence. That will usher in anarchy. I don't want to live in a country where some federal bureaucrat decides everything in my life, because it doesn't just end with voting. If they take over voting and federalize it, they'll federalize everything. Education, they'll end homeschooling. They'll end the ability of you and I to have conversations like this on radio with the Fairness Doctrine. They will eliminate every freedom that we have. And I know there are people out there who are wonderful. You know, they're Democrats. They vote for the Democrats based on their own personal, moral life decisions. And I respect that. I, for one, am not for eliminating people's opportunity to express themselves, but these bills that are being proposed by the Democrats are the face of totalitarianism and the ushering in of communism into America. And if you think I'm exaggerating or being bombastic, then go read H.R. 1. Don't take my word for it. Yes. Read it for yourself. And if you're a Democrat and you're listening to me, and maybe you've heard me before and you think, oh, you know, I don't really like her. Okay, good for you. I'm glad you have your feelings. But this isn't about me. This isn't about Mark Cox. It's not about any of us as individuals. It's about an actual power grab of the likes we've never seen in America. This is the kind of stuff that happens in Venezuela and happened in Russia and happened in places that we read about it in the history books. Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote books about it while he was ensconced in a gulag. This is the ushering in of that era in America. So don't like me. I really could care less. I do not worry about your approval. It means nothing to me. What I'm concerned with is the truth and my ability to be able to talk and your ability to be able to talk. You as Democrats have the right to talk and to disagree with Republicans, and we have the right to disagree with you. That's who we are as Americans. We can disagree and still sit around the same table and celebrate a wedding or the balloon drop at Forest Park. We can do all of those things because that's who we are as Americans. Don't let the Democrats take that away from us by not knowing what they're proposing. Just go read H.R. 1 and S. 1 and then make your decision about what they're proposing instead of making it about Mark Cox or Stacey Washington or Liz Cheney, who, by the way, is a warmonger. So she should not be in leadership.
I couldn't agree more. You know, it's only 800 pages long. That's some light reading, right, on a Thursday night.
Oh, my goodness. It's just crazy. Read a summary, then. If you don't want to read the whole thing, read a summary. I mean, come on. You don't have to punish yourself. Just read the summary.
Stacey, thank you so much for laying that out so clearly. We appreciate you.
You know what? Thank you, Mark. Have a great day.
We will have you on again soon, Stacey. We'll see you next week. StaceyOnTheRight.com. Listen to her on SiriusXM Patriot every night, 8 to 11 Eastern, or Central Time, 9 to midnight Eastern Time. I get that right. Sorry. Hey, a quick break. Time for your phone calls, 314-241-9797. Are you upset about this PDMP bill? Let's talk about it because it's going to be law in Missouri soon. We'll be right back.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
All right, so the cancel culture is everywhere. There's nowhere that the cancel culture has not invaded at this point. I have a source who works at a local furniture store, right? Who's telling me that over on the Metro East, that due to some highly vocal extremist liberals, this store has had to remove any decorative accent items that contain raw cotton.
But why?
Because people are offended by it and claim that it symbolizes racism because at some point in America, slave labor was used to pick cotton. Now, bear in mind, no cotton, to my knowledge, has been picked by hand in America in well over 100 years, probably long before that. They've had machines that did that for people, and nobody living today has been a slave, which is fascinating to me. But this week, somebody came into the store and wreaths, bouquets, and other decorations that symbolize these so-called racist stereotypes have been removed. What are we doing next? Getting rid of cotton clothing? I mean, this is how absurd our country has gotten these days. Unbelievable. What's going on around here? It's just, I just want to run my head into the wall. People are now searching for things to be offended by. It's just sick. Hey, Mike, good morning. Thanks for calling in. I got about a minute and a half here.
Yeah, I'll make it really quick. A certain person said stupid is a stupid does to what they just did. Yeah. But I'm going to give you another stupid thing. A judge just gave $150,000 to a homeless man and they threw out the anti-panhandling ordinance. So, Mark, if your radio gig goes south, perfect job for you.
I'm going to go hang out down there off Lindbergh where that guy is on the other street corner and see how much money I can make.
Other corner.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I'll go to the other corner.
Ladue Road and Ballas Road.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, Mike, you got all the people coming from the hospital. But that being said, and then the other thing is another stupid thing. The mayor of Kinloch is now going to close the park earlier because those five people that were killed, and now they're going to punish the good people that live in Kinloch that want to take their kids to the park. This is stupid, and we are going mad in this country.
I'm with you, Mike. Hang in there, my friend. Thank you for the phone call. The panhandling story, the judge ruled, and I think Beavis Shock was the attorney for the homeless guy. The judge ruled that it violated The panhandling laws violated the homeless guy's free speech. That was what he basically ruled. That you couldn't, you have to throw out all these ordinances about people standing there and harassing you for money when you pull up to a stop sign. I assume there's still nuisance laws they could use, but the panhandling law specifically had to be tossed out. The county hasn't responded to how they're going to deal with that yet. We'll find out. Coming up, we'll get to the bottom line with Brian Wobbe and Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt at 8:20.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.